Welcome to the New Point Community Church podcast. This message is a part of our series, When Anxiety Attacks. I hate to say it, but I think too many people are missing out on the only adventure that really counts in life, walking with God and carrying out His purpose here on earth. Why? Because we all love our comfort zone. I hope this message challenges yet encourages you at the same time. Enjoy.
Is that an incredible song or what? My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. You know, this past week, I've played that song over and over and over and over again. I played it while I was exercising. I played it in the car. I played it at home. I just crank it up over and over and over again because that is so true. My fear, my anxiety doesn't stand a chance when I stand in God's love, in God's love. So we're glad that you're here today. We're concluding a series called When Anxiety Attacks. And I want to welcome each and every one of you. We are one church in six locations. Make that seven, our online campus. And I want to welcome each and every one of you. And I'm so excited about what I have to share with you today because you know what? It's changing my life. And whenever something changes my life, I'm excited about sharing it with other people. So what I want to do is I just want to do a quick review, and then I want to be able to share with you a new truth maybe for you today. Now, here's what we've learned. Jesus said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace. What's perfect peace? It's when you and I have clarity. We have a sense of calmness. And we're confident. Anybody interested in that? That's what he's saying. Perfect peace and confidence. He goes on to say, in the world you'll have tribulations and trials and distress, anxiety, fear, and frustration. And so here's the thing I love about Jesus, okay? If you want truth, if you want to live in reality, you need to get to know him because he'll tell you the truth. But he'll not leave you hanging. That's good. The good news. He says, but be of good courage. Take courage, be confident, certain, and undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of its power to harm you, the anxiety, the fear, the worry, and have conquered it for you. Wow. Wow. Now, what does that say to you and me? What's he saying to you and me about anxiety? Here's what I believe he's saying. He is saying that anxiety is not a choice. You're going to have that in life. I'm going to have that in life. But how I respond is up to me. Anxiety is not a choice, but how I respond is. It's up to me. Now, if it's up to me, there's certain things that we've been learning that we have to be very intentional with. And we learned this from David. David said it like this. He said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. So what happens is you and I need to be able to set aside time. I would say every day, God, what am I anxious about? Because what happens is this. If you don't set aside time and ask God to search your heart, then what happens is our anxiety builds. And it becomes greater and greater. What we need to do is we need to search, we need to ask God to search our heart. Hey, let me know what I'm anxious about and why am I anxious about it? And then see if there's any offensive way in me. Are my relationships okay? Because one of the biggest things that causes anxiety in our life is when our relationships are out of whack. And then he said, lead me into the way of everlasting. Everlasting life. So we're called to ask God to search me and let me know about my anxiousness. And then we learned this from Peter. And Peter was one who was very prideful, okay? And he had a lot of issues. And he came to this conclusion and he challenges us. He said, humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand so that at the proper time he may lift you up. And then he followed it up with this. He says, casting all of your anxieties on him because he cares for you. And what we talked about was this, that the command is not to cast our anxiety upon God. That's the result of you and I doing something. When you and I humble ourselves before God, automatically it will lead you and it will lead me to cast our cares and anxiety upon God. So maybe you have cast your cares upon God, but you don't see any difference in your life. Maybe it's because you haven't humbled yourself. Because here's what I've come to believe. We humble ourselves enough to experience forgiveness, but not enough to be transformed. Y'all okay on that one? See, that's why you're not transformed. That's why you're like everybody else. Because you've humbled yourself, you know that you need forgiveness. The only problem is you're trying to run your life. You're trying to lift yourself up. You're calling the shots. And so though you are forgiven, you're really not transformed. And so what happens is Peter is saying, you have to surrender yourself. You have to humble yourself. And that'll lead you to casting your anxiety up on God, the one who cares for you and me. And then we learn this from Paul. Paul said, I'm going to give you two things that we always need to do. He said this, don't worry about anything or don't be anxious about anything. Instead, what? Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. And so what we've learned is this, that if we would pray as much as we worried, we wouldn't worry as much. And so what God has called you and I to do is to be in communication with him. And so don't worry, don't be anxious about anything. Just talk to God about it. And here's what he says when we do this. He says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. You'll have a sense of calmness. You'll have a sense of clarity. You will have a sense of confidence. His peace will guard your heart and your minds as you live in Christ. And so Paul is saying, you got to pray. You got to have a prayer life. You've got to be connected with your heavenly Father. And then he said this, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. That we have to focus ourselves. We have to focus our thoughts, because just because something gets your attention doesn't mean that it deserves your attention. And so we talked about a sound mind, and we said that a sound mind is disciplined focus, self-talk, because whatever you focus on, you're going to talk about. And whatever you talk about is going to affect your emotions that drive discipline, and that's going to lead you to action. That's going to lead you to behaving a certain way. And so we need to fix our thoughts. We have to be intentional. We have to have disciplined focus. And just because something gets your attention doesn't mean that it deserves your attention. And you can't focus on two things at the same time. You and I have a choice. Anxiety is not a choice, but how I respond is. Because an unsound mind is an unfocused mind. An unsound mind is somebody who talks in a negative way. And they have counterproductive emotions, okay, that leads to ineffective behavior. And so Paul tells Timothy about fixing your thoughts. He says this. He says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, of anxiousness, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What's that sound mind? It's disciplined focus. I get to choose what I focus on. Nobody can do that for me. Nobody can do that for you. I get to determine what I'm going to talk to myself about. But what influences my self-talk is what I choose to focus on. And what I choose to focus on, I'm going to talk about, which is going to affect my emotions. That drives my discipline, which ultimately affects my actions. And so a sound mind, okay? A sound mind is one that chooses what it's going to focus on. It's going to focus on that which is good. That which is good. Now, here's what we need to realize and we need to understand. He says here, do not be anxious. Who says that? Jesus. See, if you were to talk to Jesus today, if you had the opportunity to say, Jesus, how do I deal with life? How do I deal with everything that's going on in my world? What he would say is, do not be anxious. You say, you got to be kidding me. What do you mean? You don't have any more help than that? Yeah, I got some more help. Fear not. That's what he would say to you and me. You see, Jesus talked a lot about anxiety. Jesus talked a lot about fear. And he came to this conclusion. He said, do not be anxious about anything. And he would say, fear not. And he constantly talked about anxiety and fear because he knows that you and I live in a broken world. He knows that, you know what? You're going to get to choose what you focus on. And what he says to you and I is, do not be anxious and fear not. He was in a conversation with the disciples because he knew that fear had the opportunity to grip their life. And he knew that worry had the opportunity to grip their life. And anxiety, and when fear and anxiety and worry grips our life, what it literally does is it literally chokes the life out of us. And so Jesus got engaged with them in a conversation. And here's what he said to them. He said, do not be afraid of those who kill the body. Say, what? I don't want to die, Jesus. You're telling me not to fear those who can kill the body? Are you kidding me? You know what he's saying? Don't be anxious about that. Fear not. He says, do not be afraid of those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both the soul and body in hell. Wow. You know what he's saying? Fear this. Don't fear that. Don't fear that. Don't let that bother you. Don't let this bother you. This is what needs to get your attention. Don't fear the one who can just kill the body but can't do anything with your soul. What you need to do is you need to be afraid. You need to fear the one who can destroy both the soul and the body in hell. He is saying, fear this. He goes on to say this. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and yet not one of them fall to the ground outside your Father's care? He's saying, listen, God doesn't miss anything. When's the last time you thought of a sparrow falling to the ground? When's the last time you had concern for a sparrow? Probably never, because you would say, they're not of much value. And yet, what Jesus is saying is, there's not one of them, not one of them, that will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. What he's letting us know is, listen to me very carefully. God doesn't miss one detail of your life. Not one detail. Not one. And so what is he saying? Your heavenly Father has the final say in everything. Do you believe that? Your heavenly Father, if you know Jesus Christ as the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life, your heavenly Father has the final say. Let me say that one more time. Your heavenly Father has the final say in everything. That's what Jesus was telling the disciples. That nothing catches God off guard. He knows all things. Even the sparrows. Jesus goes on to say this. He says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And then he goes on to even get more detail. He says this, and even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Here again, okay, here's what's happening, all right? Jesus is letting them know that your heavenly Father has everything covered. There's nothing that catches him off guard. He's not distracted. He's not aloof. He's not indifferent. If he cares for the sparrow, he cares for you. And so the disciples heard this. And yet what happened is it probably got into their head, but it didn't get into their heart. Because we know what happens. Jesus ends up going to the cross. And their lives became full of anxiety, and they ran and they scattered everywhere. Matter of fact, Peter had such a breakdown that he denied that he even knew Christ. And yet when Jesus rose from the dead, it clicked. It clicked in their mind. You know what? This is the one that we should fear. This is the one that we should be in awe of. This is the one who should have our attention. This is the one who we should worship. This is the one in whom we should humble ourselves before. And here's what happened to them. Someone replaced something. See, if I were to ask you what drives your anxiety, it would be something. I don't know if I'm going to get a promotion. I don't know if we're going to make it financially. I don't know what's going to happen to my kid. I don't know. And what happens is, if you would look, it would go back to something. And what Jesus was explaining to them is that when someone replaces something, anxiety loses its grip. See, Jesus said, in this world, you'll have trouble, you'll have tribulations, you'll have trials. But be of good courage, I have overcome the world. And when he replaces that something in your life, then what happens is you begin to experience peace. Because you're fearing God. You're fearing the one who can not only kill the body, but place the soul in hell. You see, and you might say, well, why fear God? Listen, this is the key to mental health. This is the key to mental health, okay? It's understanding who God is. It's understanding who God is, because the fact of the matter is, this world is too big for you to handle. It's too big for me to handle. And so why should we fear God? Let me give you two reasons. One is, he's omnipotent. That's a big word. Took me a long time to learn how to pronounce that one. Omnipotent, you know what it means? It means all-powerful. He's all-powerful. Jeremiah writes it like this. He says, ah, sovereign Lord, the one who's supreme, the one who is in control of everything, the one who knows when the sparrow falls to the ground. You have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Check this out. And nothing is too hard for you. Wow. So why should I fear God? Because he's all-powerful. He's all-powerful. Nothing's too hard for him. And not only that, is this right here. He is omnipresent. That means he's everywhere. He's everywhere. See, the psalmist writes it like this. It says, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, if I go down to hell, you are there. If I ride on wings of the morning, if I dwell by the furthest ocean, even there your hand will what? Guide me, and your strength will support me. He is saying you are everywhere. You see, listen to me. When sin entered the world, and Adam and Eve chose to disobey God. They lost their knowledge of God. You say, how do you know that they lost their knowledge of God? Because they tried to hide from God. If you know God, you'll know there's no place I can hide from Him. No place. You know, it's funny because, you know, through the years we've been in construction projects, and I every once in a while would go to a construction job and somebody would swear. And then I'd hear some guy say, man, you can't do that. You're in God's house. It's like God is confined to a building. And what I would say is, you don't know God. He's everywhere. Step outside and swear. He's there. Go to your truck and swear. He's there. And see, the reason why we should fear God is because He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's omnipresent. He is everywhere. And so what does that give me? That gives me great confidence. Because here's what I need to understand. I will never walk into a relationship, a situation, or a circumstance that's out of God's control. Happy Thanksgiving. Some of you are anxious about Thanksgiving. Oh, we gotta be with family. I hope Uncle Fred doesn't come. He drives me nuts. He makes me nervous. He, whatever, whatever. I am still so angry at them. I am so mad. You gotta be with your ex because your kids are coming together. And your anxiety's going through the roof. Can I help you with that? You will never walk into a relationship or a situation or a circumstance that's out of God's control. He's there. He's all powerful. But see, what happens is this. You and I have to be able to experience this, not just have a head knowledge. You know, maybe today I haven't told you anything new. And yet what happens is anxiety is choking life out of you because you have it here, but you don't have it here. And so Jesus would say to you and I, fear this, fear me, respect me, surrender to me, yield to me. That's what it means to fear God. And you will experience this. Now, there's three things that I believe that we need to experience if we're going to loosen the grip of anxiety. Let me give them to you, okay? Here's the first one. We need to experience God as our Father. We need to experience God as our Father. Now, I realize that for some of us here today, this is tough because we never connected with our earthly father. Maybe your earthly father was aloof, indifferent, uncaring. And so what happens is when you hear about God being your Father, you're saying, well, I don't know if I can connect there. But this is the key to mental health. It's the key to loosening the grip of anxiety in your life and fear in your life, is to experience God as your Father. You see, in the Old Testament, God was referred to as Father 7 times. But in the New Testament, listen to me, Jesus mentions Him as Father 150 times. Wow. He's wanting you and I to get a message. And we said that if we're going to deal with our anxiety, we need to pray about everything. And Jesus told the disciples, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. And so Jesus came to earth to show you and I what God was like, what our Heavenly Father was like. Because Jesus would say things like this, if you've seen the Father, or if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so I want to give you 2 images of our Father. The first one, the psalmist writes, here's what he says. God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in trouble, in a time of fear, in a time of anxiety. Therefore, we will not fear. Therefore, we will not be anxious. We will be still and we will know that He is God. See, what happens is your Heavenly Father and my Heavenly Father is a refuge and a strength. He's ever present. He's always there. Always there. He's right beside you. He's not aloof. He's not from a distance. He's right there. And so, why should I be afraid when the all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present Father is with me. And then David writes this. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. You know what? Because of my Heavenly Father, I lack nothing. He protects me. He provides for me. He takes care of me. He refreshes my soul, or he restores my soul. Why? Because I ask him to search my heart and to find the anxious things in me so I can give them to him. And he can restore, he can refresh my soul so I have clarity, I have confidence, and I have a sense of calmness. He says, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're my shepherd, Father. You watch after me. You take care of me. And then he says this, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Oh, my lands. This is why you need to experience God as your Father. You know what that means? You can be at such peace and rest that it doesn't matter who's in the room. My ex is in the room, so? My mom, who I could never please, is in the room, and I'm cooking dinner. Oh, dear Jesus. My father is coming for Thanksgiving, and he's always belittled me. You know what David said? You're my shepherd. I lack nothing. I will fear no evil. And you know what? If you're in my presence, you can cook the greatest meal, Jesus, and I can enjoy it even when my foes and enemies are around me. You know what? I'm not going to avoid that person. I'm not going to not go to this event because I know so-and-so is there. Because when I'm around them, they just freak me out. Y'all okay? See, you're fearing the wrong thing. You're fearing people. You're fearing the one who can kill the body, but that's all they can do. And God is saying, fear this, fear me. Experience me as your Heavenly Father, the one who protects you and provides for you. And then we need to experience ourselves as God's child. Experience yourself as God's child. That he's not only my Father, but I'm his beloved. He loves me. I'm the apple of his eye. There's nothing that he will withhold from me that is good for me. You see, John explains this when he writes this. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that's what we are. My brother-in-law was adopted by two incredible people. One day, he was 2 years old. He was out in the yard. Nobody was there. No guardian, no parent. He was in his diapers. And a man came by and saw him, that his diaper was dirty, that he himself was dirty. And he picked him up, and he wrote a note. He said, I have Charlie Bill. If you want him, come get him. And they never came. And this couple named Roy and Audra Young embraced him and loved him and fussed over him and believed in him and clothed him and fed him and nurtured him. And when it came of legal age, Charlie said, I want him to be my dad. I want him to be my father. Why? Because he had an earthly father who lavished love on him. And I know you love me. I feel loved. You see, John goes on to say this. He says, where God's love is, there is no fear. There's no fear. because God's perfect love drives out all fear. And I want to tell you today that when you accept Jesus Christ as the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life, He not only becomes your heavenly Father, who's an ever-present help in the time of trouble, so I have nothing to fear, but now I'm His kid. I'm His beloved, and He loves me. He loves me unconditionally. And where His love is, there's no room for fear, because He's all-powerful. He's ever-present in my life. And so I need to not just know that God is my Father, I need to experience God as my Father. I need to know more than I'm a child of God. I need to experience that I'm His child. And then I need to experience this. I need to live life in community. I need to experience life in community. Experience life in community. You know why? Because you and I were not made to live alone. We were not made to live alone. We were made to live with people. We were made to be able to be loved by other people. We were made to know and be known, love and be loved, serve and be served, to celebrate and to be celebrated. That's in my DNA. That's in your DNA. And that's why we encourage you to be a part of a group. And I would say it again, it's dangerous to do life alone. Dangerous. I read a stat this past week that said 48% of people are now experiencing loneliness. 27% say they don't have a close friend. No wonder anxiety is going through the roof. No wonder depression is rampant. See, what happens is we talk through Facebook and Instagram and all of that stuff, but we don't connect with one another through Facebook and through Instagram. You only connect when you are in the presence of other people. And if I'm going to experience freedom, if I'm going to loosen the grip of anxiety in my life, I have to experience life in community. Because isolation feeds anxiety. Isolation feeds fear. And some of us are there. And we have to push through that fear. And to be able to say, you know what, I'm going to do life with a handful of people. The Hebrew writer writes this. It says, do not neglect to extend hospitality to strangers, especially among the family of believers, being friendly, cordial, and gracious, and sharing the comforts of your home, and doing your part generously. See, you have a part to play. You have to be friendly if you want other people to be friendly to you. He says, don't neglect this. Why? For by it, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Wow. What's an angel? An angel's a messenger. A messenger. What was the first words that the angel said when they broke through the clouds? Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy. See, what happens is when we live in community with one another, you will no doubt entertain an angel, someone who has a word for you, and it'll speak to you. It'll identify with you. It'll bring peace to you. It'll bring joy to you. But you have to experience life in community. James says it like this. He says, is anyone among you in trouble? Is any one of you fearful? Is any one of you experiencing anxiety? Let them pray. Therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Of what? My anxiety, of my fear, of my worry. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Wow. And so if you and I are going to loosen the grips of anxiety. Anxiety is not a choice, but how I respond to it is. If you're going to loosen the grips of anxiety, you're going to have to experience God as your Father. You're going to have to experience yourself as being a child of God, saying, God, I know that I'm deeply loved. You have chosen me. You're going to have to experience life in community. You see, peace is a person. It's not a situation. It's not a circumstance. And Jesus says it like this, peace I leave you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. How does the world give peace? Well, the circumstances have to be according to my plan. The situation has to be comfortable for me. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Peace is found in a person. It's when someone replaces something. It's when your faith in Jesus exceeds your fear in something, anxiety loses its grip. When your faith in Jesus exceeds your fear in something, anxiety loses its grip. It's when someone, Jesus, replaces something that anxiety begins to lose its grip. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you today that though we live in a broken world, and you've acknowledged that, though we live in a world that is in constant change, we thank you that we can have peace. And it comes in a person. It comes in you. And the peace that you give, Jesus, surpasses all understanding. Because somehow in the midst of all that's going on, all the chaos, all the confusion, all the change, all the disruption, we have a sense of clarity. We have a sense of confidence. We have a sense of calmness that only comes through you. And so may we fear you. And when we do, all the other fears begin to subside. And we do it because of who you are. And it's in Jesus' name we pray and we give thanks.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/contact. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, download our app, or subscribe to our weekly podcasts through the App Store or Google Play. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.